A piece in the Irish Times today in the Life and Style supplement that says hidden pregnancy hasn't gone away, it just has another face. And while Ireland may no longer be such a harsh place for unmarried pregnant women, the stigma persists. In fact, we spoke about this not so long ago. The idea that unmarried pregnant women still have fingers pointed in not just towns and villages, but cities around the country. And every so often, Ireland, as we now know, is transfixed by the revelations and reminders of the mothers and babies cruelly treated by a society with no place for women who got pregnant outside marriage. But amid all the tut-tutting, hundreds of Irish women continue to hide pregnancies. Concealed pregnancy, as I say, has not gone away. It just has another face. Sylvia Murphy-Tighe is a former midwife and public health nurse, and she's on to us now to tell us about her recent research into concealed pregnancies. Good morning to you, Sylvia.
Good morning, Ryan. Good morning.
Is it possible to define, in this context at least, what a hidden pregnancy is?
Yes, Ryan. A concealed pregnancy, a hidden or a secret pregnancy, essentially is a situation where a woman hides and keeps her pregnancy a secret from her family and her social network. And it is something, as you've alluded to, that occurred in the past, but it is something that is still happening, not just in Ireland. It is happening in Ireland in 2012, but it also occurs internationally as well.
So when you went out to have a look into it, what was your knockout revelation? What did you think looking at it? Good Lord, I can't believe this is happening, even after all your experience down through the years in this business.
Yes, Ryan. Well, the research is still underway, and we have spoken to some women and are continuing to speak to women over the coming months. So we're being funded by the Health Research Board. In terms of a knockout revelation, I suppose at this point, I suppose really, just to say that I suppose the stereotype that persists, that's maybe presented in the media around concealed pregnancy, is that it is a teenager or a young student or a young woman who hides her pregnancy. Mm. What we're finding is that, in fact, that has changed. And like you've described, the face of concealed pregnancy has certainly changed. And nowadays, it may be a woman who is working, a woman who, of course, it can be the young student, but it may be a woman who's working in the private sector, dependent on her income, who has no job security, who's forced to conceal her pregnancy and keep it a secret. It might be indeed a woman that we're meeting at the school gate who feels that, you know, a new baby may threaten her family's ability to provide economically for their other children. It might indeed be an older woman who's financially independent, or indeed a couple who feel that they cannot psychologically resource a child. So that probably would be, you know, something that has certainly changed from the past.
They're all very different examples of reasons why a woman would want to conceal her pregnancy. The obvious one is a woman in a violent relationship that she's probably hoping to leave. You can totally understand why she's keeping that on the QT, because that creature that she has to go home to every night, or who comes in the door every night, needs to be taken out of her life if she can. If he realised she was pregnant, it's probably another, and I use the term distastefully, a stick to beat her with. I mean, she could do without that.
Yes. Of course, we might understand that, but, you know, I have spoken to a woman in such a situation, and she has told me that no healthcare professional nobody ever asked why she never attended antenatal care. Nobody ever asked why she never came back for postnatal visit. And this woman was living in a violent relationship. So I think there is so much more we need to understand.
What was her greatest fear, Sylvia?
I suppose she was, you know, life was so difficult, and living with violence and getting by on a day-to-day basis was so, so difficult that, you know, there's a lot of control involved. When you're talking about violence and in relationships, you're talking about usually a lot of control. So women often don't have the freedom to, you know, visit, you know, whoever they want, when they want. And it might be something, you know, that we don't really understand. And that's, I suppose, what we're attempting to do in this research is to hear the experiences of women, to more fully understand what they're going through in modern Ireland, so that we can influence policy and shape, you know, the development of care pathways for women in such situations.
So let's say there's a woman working in the private sector and she's pregnant and she's hiding that pregnancy.
Yes.
Is she not protected by rules and regulations, or is it that the private sector is very is a little more flahoolock when it comes to these things.
I suppose, yes, Europe has certainly brought changes for working women in this country, which is really welcome. But women in the private sector, you know, have come forward to participate in our study, yeah. and they're telling us a different tale, that they don't have job security, that they are fearful of losing contracts if they're, you know, an employer themselves, and so that keeping their pregnancy secret is critical to them. Yeah.
And then take the other example that you... that you outlined there, which was about the woman who's standing at the schoolyard who might be facing into financial concerns if she has the baby. I take it she's going to have the baby anyway. That she's not concerned about what people are saying about her. So that's not, it's not a gossip situation. It's financial. So why would she bother concealing what's going to happen anyway?
I suppose that's, you know, essentially this is what this research is attempting to find out, Ryan. It's to understand, you know, why women are in such situations. And it's not that I would, you know, I don't want to portray women as victims in this case, but it's to understand what is impacting on them and, you know, on their psychological resources and how they feel an inability to be able to access, you know, healthcare perhaps, or to be able to reveal their pregnancy. Some women have discussed, you know, judgment, have spoken about feeling judged by society, by family, and not being able to, you know, not wanting that at that time, that they're getting their own heads around it. And, you know, in the past, women, you know, their babies were given up for adoption if they concealed a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. That would have been the main, you know, outcome after a concealed pregnancy historically. Now we know that women mother and keep their babies primarily. Now, some women, of course, do decide, but, you know, the numbers of domestic adoptions are very small nowadays. And women continue to keep their babies nowadays. But we don't know how that impacts on them postnatally and how is their transition to motherhood. And so, you know, if you have any listeners this morning who are presently concealing their pregnancy, I'd really appeal to them to contact me. And, you know, any inquiries will be treated in the strictest confidence. There's absolutely no judgment involved. And their participation is completely voluntary. But if I could give out maybe my number, Ryan.
We'll do that at the end of our chat, Sylvia. No problem at all. One of the things that came up when we were chatting about this recently in the last few months was a huge amount of women got in touch. And among the things they said, they referred to was gossip. And this was an issue in towns and villages particularly, was what people would say, especially as I think the term you used in the report was unconventional pregnancies. Let's call them that for want of a better expression. But gossip, and then you used the word there a minute ago, judgment. And I would have hoped in 2014 that wasn't an issue, but that Balia Bjug, if you like, psychological disorder that infects this country is still very much in situ.
Yes, Ryan, you're correct. I suppose historically there's an amount of literature which points to the stigma and shame and, you know, the valley of the squinting window, as it was called, you know, that type of mindset where, you know, perhaps Ireland was more closed and, you know, a less open society. And thankfully, we have had a lot of attitudinal change. But some of the women I've spoken to still, you know, they do describe their the others, so whether it's a partner or whether it's family or whether it's friends, about them impacting on their decision. And the women who are concealing their pregnancies are taking time to get their own heads around things and attempting to cope with what is usually an unintended or an unplanned pregnancy. So I suppose we need to understand then how others, how whether it's family, how they, you know, impact on a woman revealing her pregnancy. You know, there's just a lot more work to be done in that whole area.
There's a text suggesting, and they're probably right, you probably confirm this, that a lot of these women might be thinking of giving the child up for adoption or maybe something else if they can't afford to keep it, the child, and maybe that's why they're hiding the pregnancy. Would that tally with what you're thinking?
Some women have, you know, have clear plans. They've described not being able to access termination of pregnancy services because of, you know, a lack of money, as I've been told that. Other women have certainly planned for adoption. And some women then, I suppose, because it is such a distressing situation, they have described being unable to, you know, unable to access support at that time. So it's important, I suppose, that crisis pregnancy services are non-judgmental, that they are accessible and that they are, you know, responsive to women in contemporary Ireland. You know, one woman has just told me that the crisis pregnancy services, she hasn't looked at them because her view was that these agencies may have their own philosophies and ethos and their own, what she described as, agendas. And, you know, she didn't want that. She wanted somebody, she said, why can't I phone a helpline so that I can get the information that I request?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very interesting, you know, point that she raised. But this work is ongoing, Ryan, as I said, and women can contact me by text or by email or by phone, and, you know, any inquiry, you know, it doesn't mean they have to participate. I can tell them more about
the
research.
We'll give your email address because numbers always get lost on that radio, but it's smurphyt, is that correct?
That's
smurphyt at tcd.ie. That's S for Sammy. smurphyt at tcd.ie might be worth, for those of you who want to get in touch with Sylvia, that's the way to go. So Sylvia, good luck with your research.
Thank you, Ryan, and love to come back in due course when we have findings and, you know, share those with you and indeed with the nation.
Yeah, I'd be very happy for you to do that. So good luck with the research. I know you're working with Professor Joan Lawler, is that
right? That's right. That's correct.
At the School of Nursing and Midwifery at Trinity College in Dublin. So hopefully we'll talk again, and with any luck then there'll be something advantageous for women in the future going with this in mind. So Sylvia, thanks for your time today. Nice to
talk
to you.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you. Great.
Take care for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Sylvia Murphy-Tighe there on that subject of concealed pregnancies, which is clearly something that's going on these days.